Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Have you ever had that unsettling feeling like the truth we cling to is built on, I don't know, like shaky ground?
Oh, I know that feeling all too well.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I felt diving into On Kapiti Coast. It's a historical fiction novel set during World War II. We're going to be uncovering secrets and espionage and even a possible Nazi connection, and all this is happening right in the heart of New Zealand. So if that sounds intriguing, you can find the Amazon link in the description. Don't forget to like and subscribe.
And get ready for some twists and turns because this story will keep you guessing until the very end.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, so let's unpack this a little bit. The story centers around Kate Hardy. She's a reporter who stumbles upon, well, a murder mystery.
A murder mystery with some seriously high stakes.
Exactly. And then we have U.S. Marine Major Harry Wilhelm, who's on the hunt for a potential enemy spy ring. Their paths collide, and it all plays out against the backdrop of a New Zealand you might not recognize. We're talking about a nation grappling with its role in, well, a global conflict.
You know, what I find fascinating here is how the novel uses this seemingly peaceful setting. Like, it takes this place you wouldn't normally associate with wartime intrigue and uses it to explore the far-reaching impact of the war.
Right, because you wouldn't typically think of New Zealand as a hotbed of espionage.
Not at all. But New Zealand, though geographically distant from the major battlefronts, actually played a crucial role as a training ground for U.S. Marines.
Oh, that's right. They were preparing for the Pacific campaign.
Exactly. And this influx of foreign troops, coupled with existing anxieties about enemy spies, created a climate of, well, suspicion and unease, and that really permeates the entire story.
And that's where this whole concept of the fifth column comes in, right?
Oh, the fifth column. Yes, absolutely.
This term, it was often used during wartime, and it refers to a group of individuals within a country who secretly support the enemy.
And they work to undermine the nation from within. Very dangerous stuff.
So Major Wilhelm, he suspects that such a group might be operating in New Zealand, possibly linked to the murder Kate is investigating.
That's right. And the novel very cleverly uses this historical context to, heighten the suspense. It raises questions about who to trust and how easily seemingly ordinary people can be drawn into this, web of deceit.
It's like a wolf in sheep's clothing scenario.
Precisely. And the murder victim's connection to a group of escaped German internees adds another layer of complexity to the plot. It really blurs the lines between loyalty and betrayal.
Yeah, speaking of German entities, the novel doesn't shy away from the ethical dilemmas of wartime. The internment of German nationals, even those with long-standing ties to New Zealand, it reflects, I don't know, the fear and prejudice that gripped many nations during that period.
You're absolutely right. And the novel uses the internment camps as sort of a microcosm of the broader conflict. It showcases the human cost of war and the impact of suspicion and fear on, individuals and communities.
It's like a magnifying glass on the darker aspects of human nature.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that the author doesn't offer any easy answers or moral judgments. Instead, she presents a very nuanced portrayal of characters grappling with, well, difficult choices, highlighting the gray areas of morality in times of conflict.
Right, because it's not always black and white.
Not at all.
So the story takes us to some pretty unexpected places, too, like a secretive eugenics society and a professor at Massey College who seemed to be involved in something shady.
Shady is an understatement.
What exactly was the Eugenics Society, and how does it fit into the overall narrative?
Okay, so the Eugenics Society, it was a real historical organization. It existed in many countries during the early 20th century, and it advocated for, well, selective breeding.
Selective breeding.
Yes, to improve the human race, at least that's what they believe.
And that led to some pretty disturbing consequences, didn't it?
It certainly did. Their beliefs often led to discrimination and prejudice against certain groups, including those deemed, genetically inferior. In the novel, the Eugenics Society represents a, I'd say, a darker side of wartime thinking.
Right, because fear and nationalism can be used to justify some pretty terrible things.
Absolutely. And the professor's involvement with this group suggests a potential link to the escaped internees and the suspected spy ring. It raises questions about their motives and the true extent of their agenda.
It's almost like the author is suggesting that the enemy might not always be who he expected to be. The real danger could be lurking right under our noses, hidden behind seemingly respectable facades.
That's a really insightful observation, and the novel constantly challenges our perceptions of good and evil, reminding us that the lines can become blurred in times of war. Take Kate's investigation, for example. It leads her to uncover secrets within her own family, forcing her to confront the possibility that those closest to her might be involved in something sinister.
So even those we trust the most could be harboring dark secrets. It's a chilling thought.
It really is, and it makes you question everything you think you know about the people around you.
It's fascinating how Kate's personal journey mirrors the larger themes of the novel. She starts as a relatively naive reporter, caught up in the excitement of a local murder mystery. But as she digs deeper, she uncovers this web of deceit and betrayal that forces her to question everything she thought she knew about her family, her community, and her country.
Exactly. And as Kate delves further into the mystery, she becomes a target herself.
Oh, no.
There's an attempt on her life, and Major Wilhelm is kidnapped, leaving us to wonder, who is behind all of this, and what are their motives?
It's like a Hitchcock film, but with real-world stakes.
And the twists and turns just keep coming.
They definitely keep you on the edge of your seat. It's like a classic spy thriller, but with a historical depth that adds another layer of intrigue. It makes you think about the hidden battles fought during wartime, the battles for information, for loyalty, and for the very soul of a nation.
You hit the nail on the head. The novel isn't just about solving a crime. It's about understanding the complexities of human behavior in extreme circumstances. It's about the choices people make when their loyalties are tested and how the consequences of those choices ripple through generations. And you know, those consequences, they really become apparent when Kate's investigation leads her to the Pahiatua internment camp.
Oh, the internment camp.
Yeah. It's there that she encounters Dr. Klein, a German scientist with, let's say, a mysterious past.
Mysterious how?
Well, for one, her own family's deep ties to the German and Scandinavian communities, they come to light.
Ah, so it's personal.
Very much so. And some of those interned German nationals we talked about earlier, well, they might be hiding in plain sight, and Kate may be the only one who can actually find them.
So it's like a family reunion, but with a side of espionage.
You could say that.
This is where the novel starts to feel like, I don't know, like a puzzle box with layers of secrets and hidden connections.
You said it. It makes you start to question everyone's motives, even those who seem innocent at first glance.
Right, you can't take anything at face value.
Exactly. And the author does a brilliant job of creating this moral ambiguity, making us wonder, like, is Dr. Klein actually a harmless academic, or is there something more sinister beneath the surface?
Because there's always more to the story, right?
Oh, always. And his expertise in genetics, coupled with his connection to Hamlet Sorensen, Kate's uncle, raises some serious red flags.
Wait, Hamlet Sorensen, as in the founder of the Eugenics Society?
The one and only. Remember, we talked about that earlier, which adds a whole other layer of complexity to the plot.
Hold on a second. You're telling me that Kate's uncle might be connected to this whole mess?
Well, it certainly seems that way. The novel suggests that the Eugenics Society, while seemingly focused on scientific pursuits, might actually have a darker agenda.
Oh, no.
Potentially even linked to the escaped internees.
That's a chilling thought, isn't it? That an organization promoting ideas of racial purity could be operating within New Zealand and possibly even collaborating with enemy agents.
It's a stark reminder of the dangers of extremism, no matter how seemingly benign its origins.
It definitely makes you rethink the idea of who the enemy really is, especially during wartime. The lines between good and evil become blurred, and trust, well, trust becomes a precious commodity.
You're right. And the novel explores this theme of divided loyalties through Kate's family history. Her relatives, with their mixed German and Scandinavian heritage, represent the complexities of identity and belonging in a nation at war.
It's like they're caught in the middle.
Exactly. They're forced to choose between their adopted country and their cultural heritage, a choice that comes with immense personal and societal consequences.
It's like the novel is asking, what does it mean to be patriotic? Is it about blind allegiance, or is it about questioning those in power and holding them accountable, even when it's difficult?
Right. Those are tough questions to grapple with, especially in times of war.
Yeah.
And those are the very questions that Kate grapples with as she uncovers the truth about her family's past and the extent of the conspiracy.
So she's on a journey of self-discovery as well as a quest for the truth.
Absolutely. And she realizes that loyalty isn't always straightforward. And that sometimes the greatest acts of patriotism involve challenging the status quo and fighting for what's right.
Even if it means going against those you love.
Exactly. And as Kate gets closer to the truth, the danger escalates. She becomes a target not only of the escaped internees, but also of those within the New Zealand government who want to keep the conspiracy under wraps.
So it's not just the enemy she has to worry about, but her own government as well.
That's right. And this adds a whole new layer of tension to the story. It's no longer just about finding the killer. It's about exposing a system of corruption that reaches the highest levels of power.
It's like she's peeling back the layers of an onion, and each layer reveals something more rotten than the last.
It's a powerful metaphor. And Kate's pursuit of justice, it becomes a fight against a system that's willing to sacrifice individuals for the sake of national security, even if it means silencing those who threaten to expose the truth.
It's a classic David versus Goliath scenario, with Kate, the intrepid reporter, taking on this powerful and shadowy network of individuals.
Right, and they're individuals who will stop at nothing to protect their secrets.
It's a reminder that power can corrupt. And that even in democracies, those in authority can abuse their positions for personal gain or to maintain control.
And the novel really highlights the importance of a free press and the role of journalists in holding those in power accountable.
Speaking of holding people accountable, what about Kate's investigation? How does she manage to uncover all of these secrets? What challenges does she face?
Well, firstly, she's dealing with a society gripped by fear and suspicion. Remember, this is wartime New Zealand, where anxieties about enemy spies are running high. So Kate's inquiries, especially those directed at the internment camp and the Eugenics Society, are met with, well, resistance and even hostility.
So she's not just battling the bad guys. She's battling the prevailing social climate, a climate that's not very conducive to asking difficult questions or challenging authority.
You're right. And to make matters worse, she's also dealing with betrayal within her own family. As we discussed, her uncle, Hamlet Sorensen, is deeply implicated in the conspiracy.
And that betrayal cuts deep, doesn't it? Shaking her sense of identity and belonging.
It does. It forces her to confront the possibility that those closest to her might be involved in something truly sinister.
It's a classic case of the personal becoming political, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kate's quest for the truth becomes entangled with her family's history, her community's secrets, and her nation's role in this global conflict.
You've got it. And this personal stake, it raises the stakes even higher. Kate's not just risking her career, she's risking her life and the lives of those she loves. The novel does a brilliant job of conveying the emotional toll of this investigation as Kate navigates a world where trust is a luxury she can't afford.
And let's not forget the historical context. This is the 1940s, a world without the instant communication and technology we take for granted today. How does that impact her investigation?
That's a great point. The novel beautifully captures the constraints of wartime communication. Kate relies on telegrams, letters, and face-to-face encounters to gather information.
So it's a much slower, more painstaking process.
Exactly. She can't just Google a suspect or track someone's movements through their cell phone.
It makes her success all the more impressive, wouldn't you say? She's operating in a world where information is tightly controlled, and yet she manages to uncover secrets that those in power are desperate to keep hidden.
It really speaks to her resilience, her determination, and her unwavering belief in the power of truth. She's a true heroine in the classic sense, a woman who faces seemingly insurmountable odds, yet refuses to back down from what she believes in.
It's inspiring, and it makes the story all the more compelling because we're rooting for Kate, not just to solve the mystery, but to overcome these personal and societal challenges she faces along the way.
I agree. And her journey resonates with us because it speaks to that enduring human spirit, that capacity to face adversity, to fight for what's right, and to find hope even in the darkest of times.
It's a reminder that even in the face of overwhelming odds, individual courage and determination can make a difference.
Exactly. And sometimes that's all it takes to spark change.
Speaking of change, Kate's investigation takes a dramatic turn when she uncovers a shocking truth. A group of German internees has escaped, and one of them might be the killer.
This discovery adds another layer of complexity to the story. It blurs the lines between victim and perpetrator, forcing us to consider the motivations of those who choose to betray their adopted country.
Right. Were these internees truly a threat to New Zealand, or were they simply victims of circumstance?
It's a question that resonates even today, in times of fear and uncertainty.
It does make you think. How do we balance national security with individual rights? How do we avoid falling prey to prejudice and discrimination?
Those are important questions to consider.
They are. And these are the very questions that Kate grapples with as she delves deeper into the mystery, challenging the assumptions and biases of her time.
And that's what makes this novel so powerful. It's not just a historical thriller. It's a reflection on the enduring dilemmas of war and the complexities of human nature.
It's about the choices we make when our values are tested, and the lasting impact of those choices on ourselves and those around us.
And those choices have consequences.
And speaking of consequences, Kate's investigation leads her to a remote farmhouse And it's there she discovers that the man supposedly killed in that dramatic cliffside crash, Al Fisher, is very much alive.
The revelation that Al Fisher is not only alive, but a key player in the Nazi spy ring is a major turning point in the story. It confirms Kate's suspicions that the conspiracy runs deeper than anyone imagined.
And exposes the extent of the enemy's infiltration into New Zealand society. It's a chilling thought, isn't it? To realize that the enemy could be lurking right under our noses, disguised as ordinary citizens, blending seamlessly into our communities.
It really makes you question who you can trust and how easily our perceptions can be manipulated.
Speaking of manipulation, the revelation that Lena, the seemingly innocent receptionist from Massey College, is Al Fisher's accomplice is another shocking twist. It highlights how appearances can be deceiving. Even those we trust can harbor dangerous secrets.
Lena's betrayal is a particularly poignant moment in the story. It reinforces this theme of deception and the blurred lines between loyalty and betrayal. It also raises questions about the motivations of those who choose to collaborate with the enemy. Is it driven by ideology, greed, or just a desperate desire for survival?
It's a reminder that the choices we make, especially in times of war, can have far-reaching consequences, not just for ourselves, but for those around us.
Absolutely.
So what happens next?
Well, at the farmhouse, Kate finds herself in a life-or-death struggle with Al Fisher, armed with nothing but her wits and the pistol she acquired from her eccentric Uncle Joey.
This scene is a testament to Kate's courage and determination. She's not your typical damsel in distress. She's a woman of action, willing to risk everything to protect those she loves and expose the truth.
Her actions, they demonstrate her quick thinking and her unwavering loyalty to those she cares about. She's not afraid to fight back, even when the odds are stacked against her. It really showcases the strength and resilience that lies at the heart of her character.
And in a moment of pure badassery, she shoots Al Fisher. Not to kill him, but to disable him and protect Major Wilhelm. It's a powerful scene that underscores her resourcefulness and her commitment to justice.
It's a pivotal moment in the story, marking a turning point for Kate. She's no longer simply reacting to events. She's taking control, asserting her agency, and fighting back against those who threaten her and those she loves.
So with Al Fisher neutralized and Major Wilhelm safe, you'd think the danger's over.
Well, unfortunately, not quite. The conspiracy runs much deeper than Kate initially imagined. The novel takes another unexpected turn when she and Major Wilhelm discover that Dr. Klein, the seemingly harmless German scientist, is deeply implicated in the spy ring. Remember his interest in genetics and his connection to Hamlet Sorensen?
Yeah.
Well, it turns out those weren't just academic pursuits.
Hold on a second. Are you saying that Kate's uncle, the founder of the Eugenics Society, is involved with Nazi spies?
The pieces of the puzzle start to fall into place. Dr. Klein, using his position within the internment camp, has been recruiting individuals for a sinister plot that threatens New Zealand's security.
This is incredible. What exactly are they planning? What's the end game of this whole conspiracy?
That's the question that drives the narrative forward. Kate and Major Wilhelm, with the help of the New Zealand authorities, race against time to uncover Dr. Klein's true intentions before it's too late.
Sounds like we're heading towards a thrilling climax. What can you tell us about the final stages of Kate's investigation?
Well, I don't want to spoil the ending for our listeners, but I can say that the investigation takes Kate and Major Wilhelm back to the Pahiatua internment camp, where they confront Dr. Klein and Helga Sorensen, Kate's aunt, who's been acting as his translator and accomplice.
So even within her own family, Kate is facing betrayals and hidden agendas. It's like she can't trust anyone.
That's the tragedy of war, isn't it? It forces us to question our loyalties and confront the possibility that even those closest to us can be driven by ideologies and motivations that we don't understand.
And in a heartbreaking twist, we learn that Jen Sorensen, Kate's other uncle, has been tragically killed by Dr. Klein during a struggle at the Sorensen farm.
His death highlights the human cost of war and the ripple effects of betrayal. It reminds us that even those who seek to remain neutral can become victims of circumstance.
It's a poignant reminder that war doesn't discriminate. It touches the lives of everyone, even those who try to stay out of its path. But amidst the tragedy, there is a glimmer of hope, right? Kate and Major Wilhelm, working with a team of U.S. Marines, they track down Dr. Klein and Helga Sorensen, who are attempting to escape by boat from the coastal town of Castle Point.
You're right. The novel culminates in this thrilling chase scene, a testament to the combined efforts of the Allied forces. It demonstrates the importance of cooperation and shared intelligence in combating threats to global security.
So justice prevails.
Well, that's a complicated question. While the immediate threat is neutralized, the novel leaves us with a lingering sense of unease. The true extent of the Nazi spy network remains shrouded in mystery. Were there other operatives lurking in the shadows waiting to strike?
It's a chilling thought. On Kapiti Coast reminds us that even in victory, vigilance is paramount, and that the fight for freedom is never truly over.
It's a story that challenges us to question our assumptions and confront the complexities of human nature. It reminds us that the lines between loyalty and betrayal can blur in times of conflict.
And let's not forget the emotional roller coaster that Kate and Major Wilhelm go through. Their relationship is put to the test as they navigate danger, betrayal, and the uncertainty of war.
Their connection underscores the enduring power of love and the importance of human connection in the face of adversity. It reminds us that even amidst chaos, hope and resilience can flourish.
Yeah, and it feels like that uncertainty just hangs heavy as Keats' father, the chairman of the Special War Cabinet, well, he intervenes. He sends Major Wilhelm on a secret mission to the north of New Zealand, and, well, this separates him from Kate.
That's rough. It seems like every time they get a moment of peace, something pulls them apart. Is this just about national security, or is there something more going on here?
It's definitely complex. On the surface, it seems like it's a strategic move by Kate's father. It's probably designed to protect both his daughter and the, well, the delicate political landscape of wartime New Zealand. He understands the risks of their relationship, you know, both personal and political. So it's a classic father knows best moment, but with a backdrop of international espionage. I can't imagine Kate being thrilled about this.
You're right. She's not one to sit idly by. She might not be able to join Major Wilhelm, but she's not going to give up on him that easily. Remember, she's a reporter at heart. She has that insatiable curiosity and a knack for uncovering the truth.
So she's not just going to wait around for him to come back. She's going to take matters into her own hands. But where does she go from here? What's her next move?
Well, the novel ends with Kate returning to the newsroom. She's ready to use her skills to find Major Wilhelm and to continue her pursuit of the truth. You know, she's determined to uncover the full extent of the Nazi spy network, even if it means challenging those in power.
That's what I admire about Kate, her resilience. She's resourceful. She refuses to be silenced. She's a reminder that even in times of war, when it feels like the world's falling apart, one person can make a difference.
Absolutely. And on Kapiti Coast, it doesn't shy away from the complexities of wartime. It shows us the personal sacrifices, the moral dilemmas, and the, you know, the hidden battles fought on the home front. But it also offers this message of hope. It reminds us that even amidst the chaos and uncertainty, love, courage, and the pursuit of truth, they can prevail.
It's a powerful message. So what does this all mean for us, the readers, the listeners, those of us grappling with the echoes of history? What are some of the key takeaways from this deep dive into On Kapiti Coast?
I think for me, it's a reminder that history isn't just about dates and battles. It's about people, their choices, their relationships, and how those choices ripple across time. It's a story that prompts us to question our own assumptions about good and evil, about loyalty and betrayal, and the true meaning of patriotism.
It also makes you think about the power of storytelling, right? How fiction can illuminate these hidden truths about history. It offers a glimpse into the human experience in all its complexity.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. On Kapiti Coast is this compelling blend of historical fact and fictional narrative. It weaves together real-world events with these, you know, imagined characters and relationships, and it creates a story that's both entertaining and thought-provoking. And it reminds us that history isn't just a collection of dry facts. It's this living, breathing tapestry of human stories just waiting to be explored.
Well said. And I think that's a great note to end on. We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive. We've explored themes of espionage, loyalty, prejudice. What resonated with you the most? Share your favorite moment, your lingering questions, or just your overall thoughts in the comments below. And if you enjoyed this deep dive, be sure to like and subscribe for more fascinating journeys into history, literature, and the human experience. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.